Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, heroes, beat the page, Justin Tyler and I'm coming! All
right! Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Battle Booth Booth Bang!
Booth Bang!
So, guys, fun week, exciting week in comics.
Yeah.
I have a little story to tell you guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
This is a great story. You're going to be very excited about this.
So,
I was walking in my neighborhood, and I saw on the ground was a cardboard box. Right?
Okay.
So, what would you do if you saw a cardboard box?
Jump in it and pretend it's a ship.
That's true.
Right? I mean, that's true for you.
Okay.
Fold it into a sailor's hat.
I looked at it, and as I was looking, I was like, oh, what kind of a box is that? And I saw
it said... Slow Alvin Ranch?
Yeah, well, you know, you always need cover boxes. Let's say you're going to move or something like that. And I saw...
Are you moving?
You just got married. You can't move out.
Yeah.
Look, Marty and I are going to talk about this later.
Oh.
But it said on the box...
Awkward.
She's somewhere on the roof. It said Marvel's Essential X-Men Volume 1 on it.
Ah.
And then I was further intrigued because I was like, oh, somebody in the neighborhood likes comics. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
And I flipped over the box and searched all the sides of the box until I saw the address.
It searched all sides?
It said it was Alex Believe, who was the artist of Daredevil.
Wow.
And so I went to his house and I killed him.
Oh, no! Why would you do that?
Good story, right?
Finish his show.
That's a bad story. You should go. You've got to run from the cops now.
Or be arrested and face jail time.
Guys, we have a great show for you. I'm really excited about the guests we have on. So let's welcome them out. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Griggs and John Gabriel! Yeah! Thank you guys so much for thanks for coming to the show. Thank you guys so much for coming back. Actually, this is like the 15th or 16th time you've been here, I think.
Yeah, I believe so.
Excellent.
There.
I'm like, what's up with that?
I'm the go-to guy when you don't have any actual comic book talent to come in.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
He knew behind the curtain there.
If you don't want to ask.
So let's talk about what you've been up to. You've been working on a show called Mocap LLC.
Yes, that is correct. I wrote and star in a show that's on Spike now.
All right. Yes, Mike!
You're that one person that watched it. My girlfriend. It's Fridays at 1:30 in the morning. If you you don't own a TiVo, it's okay. You don't have to watch it. But it's just a low-budget comedy.
I just want to say, you're doing a great job of selling it.
I'm still doing a better job than Spike TV.
No, they're doing that same thing, guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch it.
Yeah, you certainly don't have to.
Well, what's the show about?
It's a mockumentary about a lo-fi video game company that does shitty motion capture for shitty video games. The theme of shitty is very heavy. It's got some shitty acting, some shitty comedy writing, but I think all in all, people would like it. It's got two episodes left. Save mocap. No, it's never going to happen again, but set your TiVos for the last two episodes, Fridays at 1:30 in the morning. Or watch it if you're on meth.
Nice. Cool. Thank you for the glowing recommendation. Chris, let's chat with you. The last time you were here was like the first year of our show.
It's been a while. You guys have really grown a lot.
Wow.
I'm just serious. It's all, you know.
We got new couches.
These are awesome.
He's wearing the same jacket he's worn every single show. Unclean.
I know. I was saying backstage that you're bringing back the double breast and peek at me.
Never went anywhere.
It never went anywhere. It's always there. But first time I was here about the first year.
And you were a musical guest the first time, and you
wrote
a song for us.
Well, yeah, because what happened...
What'd you do for us this time?
Kind of the same thing. What happened is that I'm a stand-up comic, so Pete was like, hey, you should be on a show. I'm like, oh, that's cool, because I can tell you what happened to comic books back in 84. And he said, oh, yeah, but you got to be a musical guest. And so I decided to... I wrote a song about Wolverine, and it, you know, so then I had a song about Wolverine, so I made a music video of it. So that was kind of that. That was how it all started here, the magic.
And we're going to see that later?
I think we're going to see that right about...
Is it now?
Yeah.
How about now?
No, it's coming. Hold on.
All booth man.
What kind of DVD player you got
back? It's actually little guys on bicycles cranking up.
Okay. Here we go.
Now. Oh man, this is old man Logan.
Hey Wolfie, let's go to the park. It's beautiful. Storm's having a barbecue.
No, I'm not watching this.
Watching Oprah again all day.
She's giving away cars or something. I love a car, man. Sick of riding a bus.
Hey, you know what? When you first moved here, when you answered that Craigslist ad, awesome. I get to live with Wolverine. He's got claws, and you were bringing over a mutant tail.
Sheep.
You got 2 weeks to pull it together, or I'll have to ask you to leave. Come on, Wolverine, fight for us.
I was 12 when I first met this fellow. Even dressed in yellow. He liked to scowl and to drink, to fight and not think, and he became a hero of mine. He hailed from Canada so far. He could hurt you while smoking a cigar. Bad guys would stare and fawn as he cut them with retractable claws. I love you, Wolverine. I know you're not so mean. I'll give you Oscar and call you my bub. I love you, Wolverine. You don't have to kill for me. I wish we could be pros. I'd show he really, really loves an angry rant, and he really, really wants in Jean Grey's pants. But will he be like what you do? Cause Cyclops has his one eye on you. I love you, Wolverine. You know you're not so mean. I'll give you Master of. Call you my bum. I love you, Wolverine. You don't have to care for me. I wish we could be bros. I'll show you now everyone's a boo-hoo. Now, Wolverine, by the way, not that it matters these days, but I think Hugh Jackman might be gay. Hugh Jackman might be gay.
Think about this issue.
It was just as ridiculous as I thought it was
going to be. Like, liked like it. Awesome.
No.
Like, what did you like? You don't like pets.
It's not that I don't like pets. It was just like, I was like, how are they going to make this awesome? Or how are they going to make this not seem as ridiculous?
How are they going to make it awesome?
Yeah.
It's a dog, a frog, a dragon, a falcon, and a cat that talk and fight crime. How are they not going to make it awesome?
Man, that's pretty cool, man.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, I once saw a cat and a dog in the same place, and I freaked out. So this is amazing.
I thought it was really good. The art is awesome in it. I dig it a lot. I didn't know there were so many pets in the Marvel Universe.
What?
That's a lot of pets.
Well,
with pets that have special powers.
With the exception of the one, like, effeminate dog that they brought along, Miss Lion.
I think it's the whole, they dedicate so much in this issue to talk about Frog Thor. Throg.
But that's pretty cool. Throg is pretty cool, though. I mean, it's a frog, and it's got Thor's hammer.
Oh, so they didn't get that. Oh, I get it now. Yeah. Now he's talking.
Well, I'm sorry. Would you like them to dedicate more time to one of your favorite characters?
Hey, the bouncing cat is pretty... Like, imagine that.
I love
that. That's Hairball. Speedball's pet cat. The dog with the...
I know. I remember when Hairball got his powers.
Wow, you're a better man than me. Right. How often does that line ever come out of your mouth?
Ask my girlfriend.
You looked at the audience like you actually had one.
No, I know. I always do that, and I hope someone's going to be like, me! Not yet. No, the Thor, the frog, all the other characters are like, isn't it funny that this pet can talk and has some power, but with the frog, Thor was like, I'm protecting my tribe. My tribe of frogs. I was just a regular frog, and then a sliver got caught in my hand.
Yeah, they did tell his origin story.
I know, it's like, alright, we get it.
I thought this was great. I thought this was really fun. It actually, it was better than it even needed to be, I think, for what it was.
They barely needed to try, really.
Well, you bring a couple of pups together, and that's just fun, fun, fun.
I do like the Infinity Gems, which were the kind of the, they have to chase down all the Infinity Gems around the Marvel Universe.
Uh-huh. Would you say pick this up?
No.
I would say,
but you liked it, but you would say don't pick it up.
Yeah.
I would say
great decisions.
I would say pick it up.
Right. Hesitant also. Why don't you guys make your own decisions? Jeez.
Yeah. We have to do all the reviews here. It's annoying. Let's move on to talk about the Umbrella Academy Dallas number 6. This is, of course, Gerard Way and Gabriel Vaz series. We love the first series.
Yeah.
We're kind of mixed, I think, on the second series a little bit. How do you think it rounded up? That's
not it. It got real round at the end.
Yeah. My biggest problem was it was a circle.
Yeah. I think this arc got worse as it went along, unfortunately. But I still like the characters. They just announced this is going to be a movie eventually.
For those of you who aren't reading it, in this one, the Umbrella Academy, who are all kids grown up slightly with special powers, have gone back in time to stop or cause the assassination of President Kennedy. Okay. So it's funny.
Say no more.
That's like so bold to do. Like you're making a comic, you're like, you know what? Let's go back in time and just pick that moment to like be the moment that you want your characters to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, the characters are like, right? They're dwarves with powers or something like that. They're like
kids. They're called kids.
Not all of them.
He doesn't know about much about children.
Oh, okay.
I was born looking like this, just smaller, and slowly grew into this. No, I don't know. I think that's weird. Like, the first series was awesome. I dug it a lot. But this series seems like it's trying to tackle. First of all, I'm never a fan of time travel in comic books or in any media, but it's rampant.
What about real life?
Yeah, what real life? Oh, I personally have time traveled a number of times. That's why I don't like time travel in... I feel like it's like...
It's not like that.
It's exactly like Time Cop, though, which is weird that they got it right.
Yeah.
Time Cop?
It's a documentary.
Could you show us that kick thing you do where you...
Oh, I do a split?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
I think that's what we were asking. Yeah.
You didn't ask me to do it. You just said, could I show you?
Yeah. I could. Would he?
To bring it back to the comic book a little bit. sorry. But I feel that... this comic is very creative, very funny, very well done. I felt like what I liked about the first series that did, it was like out there... pretty different. It didn't like always come together so neatly like this one did. Like everything kind of got answered, and it wasn't like, oh, that's crazy. It was just like, Oh, that's how that happened.
I agree with you. It was a little more based in the real world, which sounds like it should be better for a comic book, yeah. But in this case, I think it was kind of a bad thing. Yeah.
Because, and it all hinges on one of the characters putting on a wig and dressing like Kennedy's wife and sitting next to him and telling him to die. Weird, right? But I was like, wouldn't he just look at her and be like, you're not my wife. What are you doing here?
And still get shot.
Yeah, well, right, yeah. So I thought, like you're saying, like because it was so real, in a real event, I was like, this doesn't ring true.
Would you say pick it up?
It's a good series, worth buying, because the art's fantastic.
The art is fantastic.
And it syncs up with the latest My Chemical Romance album. If you...
Right. You have to play it at a certain point. This one, talk about X-Factor number 43. We've been big fans of the series.
Yeah, here we go.
It feels like it has been coasting for a while, but with the past couple of issues, as promised by Peter David, it's back on track. There's a lot of stuff happening in this issue. A lot of...
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
You want me to do it?
Please.
This is just a little catch-up in the beginning of this issue.
Let him read the catch-up.
No.
He's just going to read the catch-up real quick.
Thank you.
Afraid of a spoiler from a comic that came out
a month ago? No, you're bending the goddamn comic. Oh. Respect the art.
All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. This is going to be a real fucking collector's item. X-Factor number 40.
Hey,
sorry.
Maybe if it had time.
What happened last issue? Out. While serving as bodyguard to Lenore, a former mutant, Longshot thwarted an assassination attempt by Lenore's mother at the exact same time that he failed to thwart an assassination attempt by Lenore's mother. This confused a lot of readers, which is fine, because it was supposed to, and will be explained as we go. Like, what kind of, what is that? It's like, I know. That would be like a Lost airing episode. I'd be like, we know you just saw 12 filler episodes, but I promise you, it'll be worth it.
Don't you mean a Heroes episode?
Yeah,
literally, that's what they did.
This is very much all over the place. I do think if you've been following the series, it makes slightly more, but not enough sense is the problem. Because I agree, I have been reading this, and I have no clue what is going on in that. What I do have a clue that's going on with is in the future timeline, you have Madrix has gotten forward to the future, meets up with Cyclops, who now has a mechanical claw arm and a mechanical hoofed leg.
He's a robot,
I guess.
And the Terminator head, right?
Yeah, the Terminator head. And also, this is something, do you want to talk about
it touches on some moral issues, this episode.
Really nailed it.
Mushy kiss.
So, everyone thinks this is weird. I don't think it's weird. So this girl that he's kissing...
This is a little section we like to call digging your own hole.
Yeah. So Madrox there is kissing a girl named Layla Miller. And they met in the well, hey, I'm getting to it. Jeez.
That guy just
fainted
after you said
that.
Everything's fine.
It's fine.
That wasn't a body?
No problem.
Yeah,
more time travel and go back and do this again.
So he met this girl when she was like a 10 or 12 year old girl, and they she worked with him at the detective agency. Then she went into the future, and then she came back as an adult to meet up with her, and they fall in love. So sometimes that's how love works.
Gross. Yeah.
No,
so
she's
you
not
think
10.
It's okay to make out with a 12-year-old?
She's not. She's
that,
older. She's
right.
Aged.
So, but basically what you're saying is she was 12 the last time you saw her.
Yeah.
And then like 3 weeks later, she was like 20-something, and he was like, yeah, I want to fuck that.
he doesn't say that.
That was so creepy the way you said that.
Yeah, you're the creepy one.
You've never seen
one.
Like an attractive 12-year-old girl and then just watched her for the next 14 years until she was of age, and then you know.
Yeah, you do a lot of time traveling. You must have been.
Well, no, I mean like you can't obviously social mores. You can't make out with a 12-year-old, but you can keep one under your floorboards until they're 18.
You have to feed them.
Yeah, well, yeah, you don't want a malnourished girl. You want someone that's got strong.
Got a little.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I'm the one who's digging my hole.
I think you just made a hole big enough for all of us.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, this is totally creepy.
I think it's nice. Earlier on in the series. No, it's just earlier on in the series, she says, you'll marry me someday. And he's like, I don't think so. I'd be too old. And then they worked it out.
Yeah.
Isn't love weird?
I don't know exactly how to say this, but this has been a 2.5-year sting operation.
I wish Chris Hansen walked out, right?
It's to catch a Pred Tyler.
Yeah. Oh, that shitty show.
What episode?
This is going to be a tricky. The evidence is that picture.
It'll work.
Yeah. We'll make it work.
We have an air check case. Don't worry about it. Would you say pick this up?
Definitely.
No, it's actually. I would say wait 4 years until it gets weird.
Yeah, until it's not weird.
Cool. Let's move on. Talk about Final Crisis Aftermath Escape, which is what Justin will want to be doing right about now. What did you think about this issue? You were the one person like this as well.
Yeah. Help us understand why you made us read this.
I like this. It's like watching an episode of The Outer Limits, except in comic book form. It's, I think it's really nice. It's a little trippy, a lot of swirling colors.
There's a difference between, like, something that's trippy and then something that doesn't make any sense. Like, you start reading it, like, sometimes things are like, oh, we'll go a little trippy, but you'll kind of get an underlying feeling of where we're going or where this might be.
Right.
But there's none of that. It's
But mine came with a joint in it. Did you smoke that joint?
No, that's illegal.
Both of you guys sound like narcs. Mine came with a marijuana cigarette. I guys are doing like a skit in the 50s to help raise drug awareness.
Oh, no, that's bad. No, thank you. For those of you who haven't been paying attention to...
to us. This is the comic
book. Welcome back.
We're all slowly time traveling into the future.
Yeah.
Really slowly.
This is, of course, a follow-up on Final Crisis that ended several months ago. It's totally unclear how this is a follow-up on Final Crisis. Essentially, the character of Nemesis, who is a master of disguise, who I gotta be honest, I've never once seen any disguise ever in any comic book, ends up in some facility ran by the Global Peace Agency and is being held there for some reason. And then at the end, somebody gets their face melted off by Mars.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Planet Mars.
Yeah.
Let me sum that up even more, if I can.
Please.
Final Crisis sucked. This sucks more.
More?
Yep.
I like the OMAX are in this, but like kind of the old like 70s OMAX.
You don't know if he's in that. It could have been just a tripped out imagination. You don't even. It's,
yo, imaginations are good.
Yes, they are, Justin. But this is just so crazy. You can't tell anything. You can't.
Pete, you just gotta escape. Got a Final Crisis escape.
Would you say pick this up?
Yeah, I think it's a good read, and I think as the mysteries are explained, it's gonna get better.
I disagree.
Or it could just keep being tripped out for like 8 issues.
Man, you gotta let it go.
You're being a real square.
Yeah. Thank you. That's just the word I would have said. This is a state.
Alright, let's move on to talk about Dark Reign Young Avengers #1.
Shh.
Twinkling. He loves his bag. Leave him alone. Dark Reign Young Avengers, again, for those of you who have been following Dark Reign, evil has taken over the Marvel Universe. The idea of this is there is a group of young heroes who look up to the current Avengers, who are actually villains and disguised as heroes, and are essentially imitating them but kind of trying to be heroes.
Yeah, the last book's confusing.
Yes.
This one is all over the place.
Well, this is my biggest problem with it, is that, okay, so you have these young heroes who are like, oh man, we want to be like the current Avengers, so we're going to imitate them, except they end up imitating characters from the Masters of Evil who were the Thunderbolts and then pretended to be good. So somehow they know, even though they don't know, that the characters who are currently Avengers are evil, but nobody knows that. It's all over the place, and the motivations of the characters make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's like a DC book.
I just pictured you, that whole conversation, that whole diatribe you were just on, being like your thesis in college.
Yeah.
You, that was like, you just were like, and that's where the Thunderbolts came in, and your professor's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, that's a fucking physics shop. Wow. Yeah, I studied physics.
Really sweary professor here.
And then some guy melts an old lady.
But he was supposed to be the good guy, and then he winds up doing a bad
thing. Yeah, melts an old lady.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, by accident.
He's the melter.
That's actually
a superhero name, which is like
it gets you on board quickly with.
But I mean, in fairness, like if you had melting powers and an old lady bumped into you, I don't know, reflexes happen. I mean,
you're
like to think I would melt the old lady, but if I had melting powers, I mean, shit goes down when old ladies bump into you in New York. I don't know.
Yeah,
have you ever accidentally hurt an old lady in New York?
Yeah, sometimes
you do it. Like, I mean, my conscience would melt her, but my subconscious might.
Exactly, like you're driving a car, all of a sudden someone's in your way, and whoops.
I melted somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't have a time machine. I can't go back in and do that.
Totally.
He's dead.
Yeah, it happens.
You guys have anger issues.
Huh? Not anger, it just happens.
Wow.
I'm very cool with
Pete just accused you of having anger issues.
Yeah, I know.
The art in this book is awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know the artist, but Brooks, I don't know who that is.
No.
I'm looking to
Brooks and Dunn.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I do know who
he's a country singer by day.
Yeah. No, well, then I know who he's talking about. It's
a lot
awesome.
Of time on tour.
Yeah.
What do you think? Would you say pick up this book?
I don't know. I agree with you. It's really confusing, and this is trying to exist in, like, Dark Reign. It's like, yeah, evil's good now, so what's good? And it's like, it's evil. We get it.
Wait, can I just say this, I think, every time I'm on. There's always one comic each month, like, each week that comes out on Wednesday, that at least one that ends with, like, a guy turning a corner and there being, like, a full posse. Spoiler alert, there's a full posse of a different group, and they're like, always have some quirky thing to say. That's funny. We were just about to ask you the same question.
Yeah.
It always happens at the end of a book. It's like, well, thank God the Avengers won't get here in time. Then they turn a corner and it's like all the Avengers in like a Marvel card pose, and they're all standing there. And it's like, weird, huh?
Well, imagine they all show up like an hour early and like, oh, we gotta wait.
Get into your pose.
Oh, fly, hurry, they're coming. Fly up. They can't see you.
It's gotta be a mandate. Like at Marvel, they're like, make sure that the last page just has like 60 characters on it so people can be excited. Like, I'm gonna tune in next week. All the people that talk, you know?
You just got teased, friend.
All right, let's move on to talk about The Unwritten number one from Vertigo, written by Mike Carey. What'd you guys think about this book?
I thought this was awesome.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, now Pete, there's so many words in the cover, I thought you'd be turned off.
Initially. I was really having a tough time. I was like, what is this, a book?
Yeah.
Where are the pictures?
Then I thought, with the title being Unwritten, you're like, awesome.
He
not
kept,
written.
I heard him reading it, and he just kept going, where's Liev Schreiber? He was like, where's Ryan Reynolds? I was like, what are you talking about? I thought it was like this is going nowhere.
Let him talk.
No, digging your own hole segment.
No. I like the Pete's dumb jokes that he can't even form the words with.
Oh!
Wow. For those of you who are wondering what this book is about,
I like that there's a whole category.
Basically, the idea is there's a Harry Potter type character called Tommy Taylor, and there's an entire series of books about him. Tommy Taylor is a real kid that the writer of the books based the look of the character on. So the now adult Tommy Taylor goes around to conventions and whatnot and signings, except what he doesn't know is that the books are real. That's essentially, I think, like the pitch.
So he was like a child wizard. He doesn't
know. He just doesn't remember.
Yeah.
It was cool. I really like this book.
Yeah.
It's something really interesting that, like, because and they have like feverish fans like the Harry Potter fans and like most fanboys that know more about his life and like they're helping solve it. It's like the reason he doesn't remember is because in book 7 he was told that he can never remember. You know, and it's like
right.
I think that's a really fun idea. Like, you don't know your own canon, but luckily there's 60 message boards you can check.
Yeah.
To find out.
But he's kind of trapped. Like, he's like Harry Potter, and he can't break out of Harry Potter as an actor because he didn't go on Broadway and, you know, be naked and have sex with a horse, basically. So he didn't do anything bold with his acting.
We all need to do that at some point.
Yeah. You gotta take chances if you're Harry Potter.
My agent's like, have you fucked a horse yet?
You're not gonna bring it to the next level. Enough. We gotta kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me it had to be on stage and part of the play.
Yeah.
Well, we have a little bit of a surprise for you today.
That damn Philly.
Yeah.
Where?
You got a book, man.
This is great, and I think it actually works so much better than it could have, especially feeling like a knockoff of Harry Potter, but it feels like it forms its own thing.
Well, it kind of makes fun of the whole idea of Harry
right.
Potter with, like, all the different, like, the rain of salt is coming. You must get out your unicorn horn and turn it around and spin it into Liz's lap.
I think it's a real testament, actually, to Mike Carey's writing that he is able to make all of that work.
Yeah, it's good. And it's only $1, so go pick it up
yeah.
and become a fan.
Nice. Last but not least, we're going to talk about The Unknown, number one, by Mark Waid from Boom Studios. This is one of three untitles that came out this week,
yeah.
including Unthinkable, which we are not talking about.
Nice.
That's my review. what'd you guys think of Unknown?
I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was a solid first issue. I mean, it gave you just a taste of a story, not enough where you know exactly what's happening, but you got an idea and you're intrigued enough to check out the next issue.
It follows this woman who's like kind of a female Sherlock Holmes, except she's dying of some terrible brain tumor. She only has 6 months to live.
And she sees people.
She sees this weird guy all the time, and it ends with a twist of like, the scientists in the issue were weighing the human soul.
Yeah. Essentially, she looks into
27 grams, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. She looks into
Great movie.
I think it's 21 grams, right?
Oh, this is a different movie. I don't really like fat soul.
7 pounds, Will
yeah.
Smith.
Yeah. Another 48 hours, I think.
That was racist. It's a different black actor.
Different than Will Smith.
This is a really good book, and you should check it out. And that's it for the set. Yeah! All right. Our next section is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bang.
Hey-o.
Booth Man lives in the booth, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
I've got to get that out of the way.
Real mumbly.
That's my life. Get it out of the way.
Big admission.
First question, are you okay?
Yeah. Anyways, why is a great Superman story so difficult to write?
Ooh. Well, first of all, I would say he's a stupid character.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you mean by stupid?
Seriously, it's an impossible character to write because he's so overpowered. There's nothing, it's always getting him in different positions where there's kryptonite stuff.
Positions?
I wasn't even doing anything.
Well, it's true. I mean,
well, part of it is that it's been written before, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's been around
he's had,
for
like,
so
eight
long.
Titles for 50 years or so, right? So it's like a lot of shit's been written about it. But there's been good stuff. I think the stuff that is not superhero-esque is like, are the good ones, right?
Yeah.
Like the ones that aren't, they don't care as much about, like, because like you're saying, he's like indestructible. God bless you.
Bless you. I think actually the reason I like the current world of New Krypton storyline so well is because everybody, for those of you who aren't reading it, takes place on a planet where there's 100,000 other people with Superman's powers. And the thing that's nice about it is, therefore, they can't focus on his powers at all because everybody has the same powers. So instead they have to focus on what makes him different as a person. And what makes him different as a person is that he's true, he's honest, he always tries to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's cool about the character. You get at that core and it makes it interesting.
See, I don't think the reason that he's not kind of mostly written very boringly is that he hits powers. It's because he's always like, I gotta do the right thing. Like, there's no dimension to him. He's always just like, gotta save the day, better hurry up.
Yeah, he's kind of squeaky clean, so it's tough to get like a really good...
What a jerk.
Yeah. Thank God he's not real.
We don't like this superhero because he's heroic. Is that what we're saying? He's like very, very heroic. Some would say to a super sense.
Yeah, he's a super heroic.
And that's why we dislike
really
him.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Raise your hand if you ask that question. Pete's going to bring you a gift, and let's get the next question.
Are there comics you'd rather read in trades than in single issues?
Yes.
Why? Actually, this is a big debate, because Pete hates trades, and you love them.
Yeah.
Hang on. Me.
You can yell from there, I think.
Pete, do you want to talk about this a little bit at all?
Sure, yeah.
What is your problem with trades?
The problem I have for the writing for trades is that I don't want to get rid of the pamphlet. I like buying things in bite-sized form, where it's just
loves fun-sized
Snickers. Yeah. Trade Snickers, thank you.
I know, we're friends.
It's all part of the same market, though. Just because trade paperbacks do well doesn't mean you're going to get rid of the pamphlets.
Yes, they will.
And that's probably fine.
No,
I don't know. I agree with Pete in that writing for the trades is annoying because it changes the pace of the story.
Sure.
So a lot of times you'll pick up a comic, read it end to end, and be like, oh man, I know a lot about like how they got to work that day.
I don't disagree with you guys about writing for the trades, but I don't think there's a problem with trades. In fact, if anything, I think it's, I've said this to you guys before, but I think it's a better idea to write a full story for, let's say, I'll use a very specific example. Steve McNiven and Mark Millar are currently writing Wolverine. They're both really great, regardless of what you think about Mark Millar. He writes really fun, big, action-y stories. Steve McNiven's art is amazing.
Yes.
They take forever to do anything.
Yeah.
And because they are in the middle of this Wolverine run, it's already taken so long that they had to skip from issue 72... to, what was it?
They skipped one issue.
Yeah, they skipped one issue. Essentially, the conclusion of... They published issue 74 before issue 73.
Yeah.
Is basically what happened because they're taking so long. I would have rather see them write a thing, publish it as a book, and then I would have bought that book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that's a better way of reading it.
I like them both. I look at it as like when you get a season of a show on DVD. It's like, yeah, I watch Lost every week, but like when I need to catch up on Battlestar, I have no problem watching, you know, 6-7 episodes at a clip. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to go back, and if I want to catch up on a book, I don't want to buy Invincible's numbers 1 through 55, you know?
Let's ask the audience, do you want us to do, like, the next, like, 2 months worth of shows right now? Back to back? I like, see, because I like, you wait, then you wait. You wait too long. Like, why not? Comics are the medium they are. Like, and that's a different, that's a, becoming kind of a different medium, but right now it's overtaking the pamphlet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm worried about.
It's also expensive, though, to buy X amount of dollars worth of books every month, every week, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, I guess
so.
It's
actually, relatively speaking, it's cheaper to buy trades.
No, because they have to wait for the whole thing to come out.
Well, that doesn't cost any more money, though.
living costs money.
Yeah,
sure,
exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
You could die without.
No, but it's $3. You know, it's $3 now, or I have to wait and save up for, you know, and then it's like $20 to get interest.
You should learn how to do this saving up thing.
Yeah. But I mean, it's either $20 or $3 at a time. So it's like, at least I don't mind throwing down $3, but like $20.
Yeah, but if it's $20 for 18 stories.
Here, give me $3.
No, yes, I understand it's financially sound to buy, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
In bulk.
Yeah.
Give me $3, I'll tell you the first part of a joke. How about that?
This still hasn't really answered the question, what are good series to read in trades?
That wasn't the question.
No. Wasn't that the question?
It's like, was it? I just threw you under the bus, and I was wrong.
Yeah, no, I think it is.
Are there comics you would? So it's just asking, are there?
Sorry, yeah. I apologize. I guess there is.
No problem.
I would
huge problem.
We're gonna talk about that.
I would say none.
Okay. Really informative.
Cool. I
yes
would say
none.
All of them. Great. I'm glad we settled that. If you ask that question, raise your hand.
I was gonna get that.
Well, why the last man?
Yeah, nice. Well, the ones with like superstar teams now are writing so hard for the trades that it is better to kind of wait for them. Where the ones where it's just like. Like Green Lantern right now, I want to buy pamphlets because they're all very exciting and moving the story forward. But like Old Man Logan, every you read the issue, you're like, oh, dinosaur man. That's all I know about this.
Yeah.
It's like, why did I waste my time?
Exactly. Let's get one more question, please.
What is the worst movie Robert Downey Jr. has ever done?
Oh, great.
Oh, man.
He hasn't done a bad movie.
Alan McBeal's not a movie, I guess. Take it.
Right.
Not
well,
yet.
The Alan McBeal movie is.
The Dancing Baby's a movie.
What is the worst movie Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah,
has it been a bad one?
That's right.
Chaplin.
Oh, yes.
That's a great movie.
Right. Iron Man.
I don't like that either.
I'm trying a serious blank. I can only think of Kiss Kiss.
Oh,
wait,
didn't you do Heart and Souls?
Great movie!
Heart and Souls is
a great
movie!
Yeah.
That's a great movie. That's where they get the ghosts. They all die in the bus crash and they follow around from a
man, that's a great movie.
Awesome.
Charles Grodin is in that movie.
He's the
Charles Grodin!
From Beethoven!
Beethoven!
The best
second.
Movie.
Beethoven's second is amazing.
Yeah.
It's
that's
better.
The worst movie Robert Downey Jr.
The thing about Beethoven's second, the second movies are so good because they improve on the first. They get the origin.
No, no, but they did this thing where like, it's like Beethoven, like the musician, second. It's like, that's where they get the name from.
You're thinking of Amadeus 2.
Oh.
With Robert Downey
Jr.
Wait, no, did he really play Amadeus though?
No.
I'm
kidding. So there you go. Amadeus 2 was the first movie.
Wait, did we get to Kevin Bacon?
Almost at Kevin Bacon. And Stir of Echoes. Got it.
Alright, pretty sure I didn't ask the question. Pete's gonna bring you a gift. And thank you, Booth Bad.
Woo! Stir of Echoes.
So it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Yeah!
Nailed it!
First thing we're going to talk about is casting for the Thor movie, directed by Kenneth Branagh. Very exciting. They announced officially one thing, and I was told at the beginning of the show, completely forgot his name. That dude over there with curly blonde hair.
Is this a before and after picture?
He's the fat version of that guy.
Wow. Which one's fat? Both these guys have
terrible
hair.
Both those guys are going to play superheroes? Yeah.
This guy over here is going to be Thor. That guy's going to be Loki.
Yeah.
This one has been officially cast. His name is T.H. I don't remember his actual name.
Hildenstein.
Yes.
Right?
Todd?
Tom.
Tom Hindenburg. Anyway, he's been cast as Loki. He's actually worked with Kenneth Branagh a couple of times. The other guy, Chris Hemsworth over there, you may or may not recognize as George Kirk, who is James T. Kirk's father, very briefly, in the new Star Trek movie.
He's playing Thor. It should be Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. Sorbo's busy right now.
Didn't you do that? Didn't you do that when you were a kid as a comic book fan? Didn't you cast all the movies in your head anyway already?
I cast Kevin Sorbo.
Well, I was like, I didn't have any other point of reference besides Hercules. You know, I also cast him as Wolfgar the Barbarian in my Forgotten Realms movie. I think.
That's coming.
The Drizzt movie is almost done, boys. It's all claymation.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. I don't even remember what I was going to say.
You were going to say excellent work casting?
Yeah.
How do you get Ed Norton as the Hulk, Robert Downey? They're all going to be in the same movie eventually? They're going to act circles around
this. This is what people are saying right now, is that they cast Loki as an unknown. Chris Hemsworth was actually confirmed by sources before, but Marvel hasn't announced him. They're saying the problem is they still probably need to confirm him for all the other movies. Contract-wise, which is the problem, is you do want somebody who can be Thor, not just in Thor, but also in Captain America and also
the thing is, they've been lowballing all the celebrities. They need to cast people who don't have a big price tag. Otherwise, this movie's going to cost every dollar on the earth.
It doesn't matter. They're making every other dollar.
The Avengers movie is going to have, like, 12 A-list celebrities.
And it's going to have millions of people seeing it 12 times when it comes out.
I don't know.
It's going to make a killing. And then they're going to make the video game for it. They're going to make
If the Thor movie sucks, do you think people are going to be like, oh, yeah.
If this Thor movie sucks?
I mean, they might dye the guy's hair a different color.
Yeah. If this Thor movie sucks, that guy looks like Matthew McConaughey with AIDS. I'm being honest, though. Look at that.
How is that McConaughey AIDS movie?
Well, I got a new
cool. Let's move on into our next category of Week in Geek. Interesting that you asked the question, what's the worst movie Robert Downey Jr. has ever done? Because here is the trailer for Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, nice. Oh, gotcha.
Shh, we'll talk after.
Okay.
I have a request. Someone I want to see. Sherlock Holmes. Mr. Holmes, you must widen your gaze. You underestimate the gravity of coming events. Tomorrow, at midday, the world as you know it will end. Well, there isn't any time to waste then. Just think.
Wow!
The witness stated that he saw Lord Blackwood rise from the grave.
He wants you to find him and stop it. That'll take every ounce of my not inconsiderable experience.
This may be a hobby to you, Mr. Holmes, but I do it for a living.
It does make a considerable difference to me having someone with me on whom I can thoroughly rely.
What was that?
My methods before.
I never complain. What if I complain about you practicing the violin at 3 a.m? Or your mess? Your general lack of hygiene, the fact that you steal my clothes.
Holmes, does your depravity know no bounds?
No.
Remake of Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah.
Basil Rathbone.
I think that looks awesome.
Yeah. Looks cool.
Get off my shirt.
What? Yeah. What do you want to see? You want to see Sherlock Holmes doing...
Solve a mystery?
Yeah, thank you!
Yes.
But this... you want to see Sherlock Holmes... I want to see him be a badass.
But that's not Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
You don't know Sherlock Holmes like I do.
Yo, I know Sherlock Holmes!
First of all,
Sherlock... He would never pull out a little hammer like that and expect to beat that guy. He's smart.
Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, that's awesome. I'd pay money to see them sit around and bullshit about comics.
I am totally cool with this movie.
Wait a second. I don't know, like, fist fighting and all that?
It doesn't seem like Sherlock Holmes. There's no connection
see,
to the character.
I've been reading a lot of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, this is my favorite author. I've been reading a lot of his books, but a lot of his early books, Sherlock Holmes, is like that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah? Good. Someone can fact check me? I'm making this up.
Yeah. You've been reading a lot of his early work?
Yeah.
Like what?
I read this paper that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle did in Junior High.
Yeah, that first novel, Sherlock Holmes Fucks the Maid.
I read a lot of Sherlock Holmes fan fiction.
Yeah.
Erotic fan fiction.
I loved Wade Watson's Bad Hopes.
Yeah.
That's the worst title.
But if it works, we'll know that Nancy Drew will now have a badass movie coming out.
Anyone who's ever solved a mystery.
Anybody's ever
solved
the mystery.
You gotta see the Encyclopedia Brown movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's
fucking
curbs a dude.
Yeah.
Cool, that's
the wreck of the book.
All right, it is time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're gonna turn it over to Pete LePay.
This is trivia, and this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of gift cards at Midtown Comics. Who'd like a chance to win $25? Simply raise your hand. $25. Yes, you, sir, at the back. Come on down. All right. Yeah. What's your name, sir?
On The Price is Right, the clapping never stops.
Noel, audience? Audience, Noel.
All right, Noel.
All right. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you three trivia questions. You get all three right, gift card yours. Okay, so today's trivia is on fun facts from the Wolverine Origins movie. So, yeah, you listen. Go three for three. It's all you. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Boothman.
Don't be afraid of the music.
If you have to make up a mutant for the movie because you want a star that is so hot right now, who would you cast? Would you cast A, Hugh Jackman, B, Will.i.am, or C, Molly Ringwald? So it is either A, Hugh Jackman, or B, Will.i.am.
Oh.
Not in there. I'm trying to help you out on this one. So it's either A, Hugh Jackman, or B, Will.i.am.
Hugh Jackman.
Or you can go with B.
I think I'm going with B.
Correct!
Watch your head, Noel. Watch your head.
Okay, here we go. One fact from the Wolverine.
He has very little tells.
Yeah.
Here we go, more fun facts.
Gotcha.
To show the lighter side of Wolverine, they decide to have Wolverine A, clumsily cut a sink in half, or B, wear flannel, or was it C, he shot the sheriff but he did not shoot the deputy? So is it A, he clumsily cut the sink in half, or did he wear flannel? What's nice about this one is we will accept either A or B.
Flannel?
Correct! Woo!
More fun facts! That was literally a tell that you told. That's a major tell.
More fun facts from the Wolverine movie. Okay. If you can't get the actor you want for what you think is the key shot of the movie, do you? A, just CGI it, man! It's amazing what computers can do. B, get a stand-in and put them just out of focus. Or C, do you realize you've just made a crappy movie? So it's either A, CGI it, or B, get a stand-in. I would go with A.
You know,
I have a vision. I see A.
A is correct! 3 for 3, $25 free dollars are yours. Thank you for coming out.
First of all, those were even less facts than usual.
Yeah. A lot of fun, though.
And second of all, were you getting a little choked up? Yeah.
I'll say the term fact like means no personal opinion at all.
Cool. Well, it was a fact. They did CGI, what's his name at the end? It was a fact that they did.
That movie really fucked him up. Yeah. He's still
bitter. I'm still bitter about it, so yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Yeah, flashes. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
I'm going to say Hackslide.
Why?
Because it's an amazing comic and it continues to blow people's minds.
I don't know if everyone knows, but in the last issue that came out a couple weeks ago, Pete was the villain of it. Pete the Man. He finally got his name in the comic
book. Justin, you done there? You wanna...
There's nothing really good coming.
What? Come on. That's not true.
Invincible. The next Invincible.
Yeah, I haven't liked that lately. Uncanny X-Men number 510. I'm excited about that.
This. What are you talking about?
Is anyone still like enjoying Trinity? I buy that like
X Machina.
Go to the doctors.
X Machina is coming out.
Cool. Gigantic number 4 is coming out. Really been enjoying the series from Rick Remender about a giant robot guy who comes to Earth, ends up in the center of the Earth, and is now fighting lava. That's where he was at the end of the last issue. It was cool.
Also apparently coming out is the 4th edition Monsters Manual Volume 2, which is
loves it.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Uh-oh.
You guys are gonna find a handshake after this.
Yeah. My lead miniature collection is about to triple.
Awesome. You should invite me over so I don't come.
Whoa. Wow!
I don't know who you burned there.
I'm scared.
Actually, why don't you just skip the invitation?
Yeah. Anything you want to plug?
Set your DVR or alarm for 1:30 in the morning this Friday night. It's episode 5. There's only 6 episodes. Get them while they're hot.
Get them while they're late.
Get them while they're on. I don't know. That's it. That's all.
Yeah, that's cool. Chris, what are you looking forward to?
One thing, I perform with the Baldwins here at this theater every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. It's a free show. Come check it out. You catch me on TV Land, Prime Movies on Friday. And I almost forgot, Jerry Miller as the Wolverine is in the audience tonight. It's almost
What time are you on Friday night?
The show's at 10 o'clock on Friday.
Bummer, I thought we were going to have a competition. Thought you might be on at 1:30 in the morning.
Well, people that watch TV Land don't stay up that late.
So. That's the 1:30 of TV.
Couple of things before we go. First of all, you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Also next week, we're going to have comedian Ben Kissel on the show, so that should be a lot of fun. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank John for being on the show. Yes! Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Good night, folks, everybody.